This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. And if you're interested in some extra shows every week, go ahead and become a member to theconfessionalspodcast.com because we release an extra show every Thursday for members only. Except this week, we're releasing four extra shows, which means we're switching it up a little bit. Yesterday, on Monday, we released a member-only show. Today, Tuesday, we're releasing a public show. Wednesday, we're releasing a member show. And Thursday, to wrap up Halloween, we're releasing another public show for you on Halloween. I hope you guys enjoyed the extra content this week. I'm really excited about putting it out, and I really hope you enjoy consuming it. Now, today, we have Mo coming on the show who saw a Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, but what he saw is something that most people never see, which is not only a Bigfoot, but this thing had no face. He comes on to talk about what he saw here in Pennsylvania. Let's go. Okay, today I have Mo coming on. Mo, how you doing, man?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. So you've had a Bigfoot encounter that you've been learning more about as time goes on. So why don't you just start us off with this encounter that you had? Where were you? What happened? Describe to us what you went through, man.
Okay, a friend of mine, we always hunted up in Clarion County, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, a little borough called Truettsburg. It's probably smaller than, if you remember, Walnut Grove on Little House on the Prairie. Very wooded, some deep woods, and great for hunting, great game. And we went up, it was like early to mid-90s, I'm not quite sure of the year, but we went up the weekend before buck season, which is always right after Thanksgiving, just to check our spot, make sure everything was okay. We took our shotguns, just sat in our spot all day long to, you know, see what we could see. So when it was almost dark, we walked down to our truck and got in the truck and started cruising on the road, just checking real slow, only going probably 10 miles an hour or so with the windows down, seeing if we could see any deer. When all of a sudden from the left-hand side, this black, dark, 7 to 8 foot tall thing just walked right in front of us. It was the darkest black that I've ever seen in my life. The arms on it were, it seemed like the arms were 6 foot long. They were way down past, the hands were down past the knee. The hands actually looked like Hulk hands. They were huge. Now, this thing wasn't massive like I see in a lot of the videos as far as, you know, how wide. And I hear a lot of people say that they looked like a bodybuilder. This didn't look like it. It was massive. It was big. There's no way that this was a man. You could tell right from the start, this could only be one thing. And I didn't believe in Bigfoot. I gave everybody a rough time if anybody ever said anything about it. But when this thing walked in front of us, and it was probably 10 to 15 feet at the most, in front of our car, our truck. There's no way to mistake what this was. But it was so black, so dark. It stepped off a bank. And when it stepped, it's like it was nothing to it. Like the feet hardly even touched the ground. And it took one step and it was halfway across the road. And by the other step, it was on the other side of the road. But when it was walking across, turned to like look at us, and it was walking like like a guy in a bar that's all juiced up, just walking around with his arms, you know, all puffed out. And when it looked at us, there was no face, and that freaked both of us out. I checked out then when I saw that there was no face. I totally lost everything. I think now that when it looked at us, I'm not sure, but I think that could have been infrasound. At the time, I've never heard of infrasound or anything like that. I had no idea. But all I know is a terror came over me and my friend, and we couldn't move. I braced like we were going to be in a wreck or something, and it just looked straight ahead, and it walked across. And after it crossed the road, I looked down and I was shaking like I was in detox or something. I couldn't stop shaking, couldn't really say anything, and it just kept walking like it could not care less that we were there, you know. And within 30 to 45 seconds, It was gone. It walked 75 to 100 yards and just kind of disappeared into crab apples, you know, into the bush. And that was it. But it was terrifying. I mean, I've never been so scared in all my life. And it still haunts me. You know, I went back last year finally to the same spot. I wanted to go back. I wanted to check everything out. I couldn't get out of the truck. I finally found a spot, and I couldn't get out. I started to shake. I started to sweat. And I just went back home. Because I live in Texas now. I went home back to Pennsylvania to hunt with my two oldest sons. And I couldn't do it. You know, and my kids were just looking at me like they've never seen me act like that. You know, they've never seen. I almost had a panic attack. I couldn't even get out of the car. I said, this is it. And then I just started shaking. I said, we got to go. And they asked me why. I thought you wanted to check this out. I said, no, we got to go. I didn't have a weapon. With no way would I get out of that vehicle without a weapon after what I saw. And it scarred me. I mean, we went hunting closer to our hometown. And one day I was sitting at a spot, and, you know, some people hunt, they put on a drive, they'll hit trees or something. Well, I heard a knock and went into a full panic attack. And we had little walkie talkies. I talked to my son. I said, we got to go. I'm not feeling well. My back's hurting real bad. We have to go. And it just as fast as I could, I got out of the woods, and that was it. I was done hunting. I went the whole way, flew the whole way back. As soon as I heard that knock, I was done. I don't care if I hunt again or not. And, you know, it kills me that was my Christmas, was deer hunting. And, you know, I lived for it. And now I don't care if I ever go back.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame you, man. I'd be pretty terrified myself to, you know, go back out there hunting and stuff if I knew it was waiting for me. Tell me about this infrasound. Now, I mean, you come to the conclusion that you think you were hit with infrasound. Did you feel anything, or how'd that whole thing work out?
When I think, you know, I was shocked when it was walking down, but when it turned, like the head kind of turned, not just the head, though, like the neck and everything, the shoulders, everything turned towards us. And Tony, there was not a face there. This was so black that it was like blue. I've never seen this color black before. It's like three times as dark as a black bear. I can't describe it. I don't know how to explain it because I don't understand it myself. But it was a blackness, a darkness that kind of like it engulfed itself. And as soon as it did that, it's like something hit me, and I pushed myself back in the seat like I was gonna, like you're bracing yourself for a wreck. And I couldn't move. And I broke out into a sweat. I started shaking. Like, I can't describe how scared I was. And after a few years, I asked my friend, I said, you know, we never talked. I said, I've been listening to some podcasts and things, and, you know, people say that they have these encounters and they never talk about it. I said, we've never talked about it. I don't even remember us driving home after that. And he said he doesn't remember either. And he says, I don't know why we don't talk about it. You know, we're best friends. He's like my brother. My son is named after him. And we talk about everything. And we talk all the time on the phone, even though I'm living in Texas now. And, you know, as soon as I go home, I see my kids. And then the next part is I go see them. And we still never talk about it. And he doesn't want to. I keep asking him about it. And he's told me, he said, Morris, it's not that we didn't see a face. It had no face. There was nothing there. But it wasn't like it was empty. It was just, it's kind of like it just kept imploding on itself. And I couldn't move. He said he couldn't either. And, you know, listening to your podcast, that's where I first heard infrasound. I'm like, what are they talking about? And, you know, I kept looking it up, and I really believe now. I didn't believe in ghosts. I didn't believe in that, anything like that. But I don't know. I don't know what we saw. I mean, it wasn't just an animal. I just got this feeling of pure hate and pure, like a beast. You know, I don't know if I want to say evil. I want to say evil, but I don't know. When that thing turned around, everything in my body was just terror. That's the only thing I felt was terror. And I asked my buddy the same thing, and he said, yeah. He said, I've never been so scared in my life. And he said, every time that I bring it up to him, he has nightmares. And I do too. There's certain times, you know, some of your shows, when talking about demons and things like that, that brings it back. It's like, I wonder if that's what we saw, because there was something more than just an animal there. The more I read and I get information on this thing, it was more than just an animal. There was something more. I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about paranormal. But this thing put a fear into me that I've never felt, never. And now I'm kind of hooked on the whole subject. I want to find out more, but it's like the more information I find out, the less I know. I can't explain it, but it's scary, you know. And it's haunted me. And last year when I went out to hunt, and I couldn't get in those woods and stay in those woods. You know, it's like, there's something more to this. This, I just didn't see an animal. There's something that has a hold of me that, you know, when I heard that knock, and it didn't sound just like, it sounded like someone had a ball bat and hit a tree. It didn't sound like someone just had a stick tapping a tree. This was loud. And as soon as I heard that, everything in my body said, get out now. And I was gone. I contacted my boys and we were gone. And they're like, what's wrong? I'm shaking. And I just said, we got to go. And I was gone. And that, you know, I went back. I spent 2 weeks just sitting there. I didn't go back out hunting. I wasn't going back out in the woods. And I want to. I really want to. But I don't know. That fear, everything started coming back. And, you know, I grew up hunting. I used to coon hunt and everything. And in the middle of the night, I would be out in cemeteries, and I've never seen or heard anything. You know, I've worked in hospitals. Excuse me. I've never seen any ghosts or anything like that or heard any noises. But I just didn't believe anybody. I gave everybody a hard time. And now I put my foot in my mouth, because anything's possible. You know, there, I just realized that there's more out there than what I thought. You know, I feel like I'm in the Matrix now. I took the pill, and I don't know what's out there, but now I believe the monsters really do exist.
Okay, let's take a break real quick and talk to you about cat litter. That's right. We're going to talk about pretty litter. And I figured the best thing to do would be to bring in my wife to talk about the pretty litter, because she's a pretty lady. So, Lindsay, what's up with pretty litter?
Well, pretty litter is a cat litter that we just started using recently. And I want to give you a little bit of background about why we started using it and why I really like it. So for 17 years, I had 3 cats. They were my little furry friends. I took care of them. I gave them their medicine. I was responsible for all of their needs. And now I'm sorry to say that we only have 1 little cat friend left. Unfortunately, in the last year and a half, we lost 2 of those cats to cancer. And now we are using Pretty Litter because it actually monitors your cat's health. And because we have 1 remaining cat, I want to make sure that her health is as good as it can be. Pretty Litter changes colors to detect any underlying illnesses in your cat before urgent medical care may be needed, which saves you money, it saves you stress, and potentially could save your cat's life. And there's a few more bonuses to switching to Pretty Litter that I found out. For instance, you order Pretty Litter online and it gets shipped right to your door in a small, lightweight bag that actually lasts the entire month, so you're not buying cat litter every single week at the grocery store and carting it home. There's no more running to the store, there's no more heavy bags, and Pretty Litter also offers next level odor protection, which means it uses these super absorbent crystals that they trap and conceal odor, so there's no smell, there's no mess, there's no cat litter smell floating around.
Yeah, that's a big thing. The cat litter box smell, I hated going down the basement and smelling that cat box as I was going down the stairs. And with this, I just said it this weekend, we were downstairs in the basement with you, me, and my parents. It didn't smell bad at all down there. I was really impressed by it. But anyways, for you guys, do what I did and switch to Pretty Litter today by visiting prettylitter.com and use the promo code Tony for 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com, promo code Tony for 20% off. prettylitter.com, promo code Tony. You know, it's one of those things where when you're looking for the answers and you're trying to find answers, you can get easily frustrated with the idea that you're not getting anywhere. And when you feel like you answered one question, 10 other questions pop up. But, you know, there's a lot of people that have been looking for this creature and trying to find answers, and they spent their entire lives and have gone to the grave with, you know, not really having the answer they want and stuff. So, you know, it's just part of the process here. I mean, really, until, you know, people want to say it's government cover up. Some people want to say there's the supernatural aspect to it. But until either these things, the government or God is ready to reveal them to people, I don't think that we're going to really get the answers we want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard you say that you really want to see one and everything. I'm telling you, when this thing came down, there's no way you could mistake this for a man. I mean, I've had friends try to tell me since I've been opening up about it that, oh, it was just a big guy in a hoodie. You know, I don't know anybody 7 to 8 foot tall that's going to be dressed in black in hunting season in Pennsylvania. You know, you live in Pennsylvania. You're just not going to do that. But the size of this thing, there's no way you can tell me that this was a man. The fingers on this were so long and so big, it was like Hulk hands. And it was so big, and it moved so kind of, I want to say like graceful. It didn't bebop. It was kind of lean forward, but it covered so much ground. Like it wasn't even, it didn't walk like we walk or anything. It didn't look like a gorilla. It just, I don't know what it looked like. But it was so big. It was just too big to be a man. I you know, I've seen football players, I've seen wrestlers, and you know, I always said, you know how hockey players are tall, but they're kind of thick, but they're not massive. You know, this thing was as tall or taller than a basketball player, but kind of built from listening to everything. I'm kind of thinking now I might have saw like a young adult male because it wasn't massive like what other people seen, but it was 7 to 8 foot tall and it was big. It was big. It was twice as big as any man I've ever seen, but it just wasn't real thick like what I've heard in pictures that I've seen. It wasn't that thick. But it was huge. If you would see this thing, and this thing walked 10 to 15 feet in front of our vehicle tops. That's the furthest it was away. And turning, when it turned, if there was a face, we would have seen it. We would have seen something. That's how close it was. We would have seen something, but honest to goodness, there was nothing there. It was just like total blank. And as soon as it turned towards us, and it never missed a stride, it just kept going, but it's just like bam, this thing hit both of us. And I remember just like bracing like we were gonna wreck, and I couldn't move from there. I was shaking, but I couldn't untense my legs up, and I broke out into an instant sweat. I don't know why that happened, but instantly, boom, I was sweating and my hands were shaking so bad that When I look down, I'm like, oh my gosh, what the hell is going on? And I look back up and this thing just kept walking. And it, within 30, 45 seconds, it was gone. It just kind of, it didn't seem like it moved like around a little tree. Because it was, you know, it was brushy, like crab apples and stuff like that. It just went straight and then it was just gone. It didn't kind of disappear a little bit. It just was kind of walking and boom, it was gone. But there's something more than just an animal to what I saw. And, you know, I don't like to admit it. And because all my life it's like, oh, there's no ghosts. There's no ghosts. You know, I was wrong. I was dead wrong because the fear that come over us, I mean, we were shocked when this thing walked out. But when it kind of... Excuse me. When it turned our way, I mean, we just felt something hit us. You know, I could feel it in my stomach. I felt like I was going to throw up. It was just, I thought, well, maybe I just couldn't see a face, and I was kind of like in shock, and I was going to make myself sick, and, you know, and it wasn't like a very proud moment. I didn't feel like I handled it very well, and just because it walked across, but, I can't explain the fear. The fear is what keeps coming back. When I went back last year into the woods and I heard that knock, that fear, everything come back. And I'm telling you, I'm 54, and I almost ran out of those woods. You know, I have two adult sons and a 4-year-old. My adult sons, I'd beat them to the vehicle by like 10 minutes. I'm just waiting. And I'm standing there with my gun loaded and my head on a 360, just looking around, scared to death. You know, I was just horrified. And I don't want that feeling again. If it, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hunt again or not. I was supposed to go back this year, but no interest in it.
Yeah, I can understand that, man. Are you the only one that kind of jumped into this whole, you know, looking into the topic and trying to understand what you experienced? Or, you know, is your friend doing this as well?
No, my friend doesn't want to. I try to talk to him about it, but every time I do, it's like a yes or no, yes or no. You know, there's some other people from Butler County that have like a paranormal group that, were interested, and I gave him their name and stuff, but he really doesn't want to talk about it. It just brings up some things that he doesn't want to talk about. But he told me that he has some friends that used to work, that drive around to check gas wells and stuff like that. You know, they go out in the middle of nowhere and drive up these power lines and check these gas wells. And he said they've all had sightings, encounters, whatever you want to call it. But this is the only time I saw it. And, you know, part of me really wants to see it again. I mean, I was so psyched out. I wanted to go up there. I had my GoPro and everything, and I'm all ready. And, you know, when we first got to the spot where I had the sighting, I was like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to know. I do, but I don't. I chickened out. I just chickened out. I was like, no, I'm not. You know, and my son's like, come on, Dad. It's like, no, you don't understand. And they're like, are you okay? And said, yeah, I'm okay. We need to go. Let's just go. You know, and I just kept thinking, I'm not going to put my sons in harm's way. I'm not going to do this to them. And so we just left. And, you know, the place we hunted was 30 miles away. And, as soon as I heard that knock, I was done. So we got to go. But I just told them that my back was hurting real bad, and I had to go home. But when they got to me at the vehicle, they saw that I was shaking, and they said, "Are you okay?" Because I'm looking all around and making sure that there's nothing coming. Every time I heard a twig snap, I'm like looking right there, and like, this is no good. I'm dangerous. Here I am with a loaded weapon, and I'm scared to death. That's not a good combination, you know? So it's just time to go home. So that was the last time I was in the woods.
Well, I mean, have you told your boys, you know, what happened?
Yeah, they don't believe me. They really don't. My wife doesn't believe me. Nobody does, really. They just don't believe it. I asked them, I said, have I ever lied to you? Have I ever lied? And they said no, but they just can't comprehend it. You know, especially when I told them about this infrasound and things like that, and that really got them, because they're like, really, Dad? And I said, I would not put all this effort into a bullshit story, you know? It just wouldn't happen. I'm just not going to do it. But they just don't believe me. They just laugh at me and think I'm just trying to get a rise out of them.
How long ago was this? I mean, that you had this experience?
It was early 90s. I want to say like 93, 92, it was something like that. And, you know, after that, I've hunted. I never went back to that spot, but I've hunted. We moved to Texas in 2013. But I never went out in an area like we had that sighting. I always stayed close to my home. We lived in a rural area and stuff. And there was woods, but you could always see houses not too far away. You know, I grew up in that area, so I knew everywhere where I went. I didn't go back up there. But when I went last year and I heard that knock, that was too close to home. That was only probably about a mile and a half to 2 miles from my friend's house, and I was done. I was done. This knock, it sounded like, I know what people say when they say it sounded like someone had a ball bat and Babe Ruth hit a tree or hit a home run, and that's what it sounded like. It's a big crack, and I just went into a full panic attack, and that was it. I was done. I could not get out of those woods fast enough. And there's just something about it. I just know. I don't know what it is. You know, like I said, I didn't believe in any of this. And, you know, and listening to people on your shows and stuff, it's like, you know what? Maybe there's something to that. And when I heard about the infrasound, it's like that has to be what hit me, because when that thing first started walking down, it's like, oh my gosh. And there's no mistaking what it is. When you see it, you don't think that could be a big guy in a black hoodie and black suit. You can't mistake. It's just too big. But when that thing turned its head to us, and honest to goodness, there was nothing there in that face, and that fear hit both of us. It wasn't just fear. It was terror. I mean, I was terrified. I've never felt that way. I couldn't move and instantly started sweating and shaking. And I have no idea what could cause that. I don't know if shock can cause that or not, but, I couldn't move. I couldn't get my legs to stop. You know, because I had them pressed against the floorboards, and I'm pushing back on the seat. I couldn't, until that thing was like 40 yards away. That's the way I was sitting. But it just kind of walked away. But it came down there, and its arms were out, like I said, like somebody, like a bouncer in a bar just strutting through. It could not care less. And the hands on this thing were so huge. I remember seeing on the Big Bang Theory when they had the Hulk hands. That's what I saw. I mean, those huge hands. And it just walked. I mean, it didn't do anything threatening to us or anything like that. And for years, I couldn't understand, why was I so afraid? Why? I've seen a lot of stuff. I've almost been run over by bear. I've seen some crazy stuff, But I've never felt fear like this. You know, I've been shot at before and everything. Nothing like this. And I was sitting in a vehicle with the shotgun right beside me. And I was terrified. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. And I just come to the conclusion that, you know, we always have to, we have to know what, why everything is, and we have to label it and understand it. And I just come to the conclusion that there's just things out there that you have no idea, control, or anything over. You know, I didn't believe in ghosts, demons, and stuff. And your podcast, man, you're great. You freaked me out. Some of those podcasts, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, it's like, how do these poor people live? They're going through so much, and all I saw was this big ass thing come walking past, and it changed my life. I couldn't imagine what these people were going through. God bless them, you know, and you know, talking to you and stuff, I could see that, you know, you're doing a lot. You're helping them. You're helping them to see that, you know, they're not crazy, or other people went through it. And, you know, I just love your religious background, and you know, you're a good family man. You don't judge anybody, and you've got a great sense of humor, you know, and that helps people. That really does. It's really nice that, as far-fetched as this stuff is, just to be able to open up and talk about it and not be laughed at or called a liar, you know. Why would anybody want to make something like this up? There's people that do that hoaxing thing and stuff like, why? I don't want this. I don't want people to laugh at me and, you know, think I'm lying and stuff like that. And I would love to know what it was and understand it, but, man, I thought I wanted to see things again, but nah, I don't. I'm good. I'm good if I don't ever see anything like that again the rest of my life. I hope I get to the point where I can get back in the woods. But after last year, I don't know.
I can definitely understand that, because, you know, you don't expect to see something like that out there. And then when you do, it flips your whole world upside down. I wonder, have you ever tried having your kids and your family talk to your friend that was with you?
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
And they just think you're both crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. They just think, you know, him and I used to, like I said, we did everything together. We used to DJ together back in the '80s and everything. And we worked together at a window factory and everything. We did everything together. And, you know, there's some crazy stuff. You know, one time, I said, I was coming down from his house. He lives along the river, and it's kind of like really hilly, like little mountains right there by the Allegheny. And I said, I'm going down the road, and I saw an organ grinder monkey along the road. And they're laughing at me. And for 6 months, everybody's like, holy cow. He saw a Bigfoot. He sees an organ grinder monkey. You know those little monkeys that used to have the organ grinders? Remember the old black and white TV shows?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Well, about 8 months later, there was a veterinarian that had one of them, and it got out, but he didn't want anybody to know because I guess they're real valuable. So I did see one. So I wasn't full of crap. I did see one along the road. That was his monkey. You know, but nobody believed me. And I said, I'm not going to lie. This is what I saw. And this is the same thing. People just like, you know, I mean, who would make up something like that?
All right, let me talk to you about Shudder. Shudder is an online horror video streaming service. Shudder is just like the other streaming services online. I can't mention their names, so I won't, but they're just like that. So just trust me on that. You heard of the phrase something and chill? Well, this is Shudder and chill. I'm telling you guys, you're gonna love this streaming service called Shudder. It has tons of horror content, anywhere from video series to movies to even Shudder TV, which is actually what I really enjoyed, because I was able to log onto my account, hit Shudder TV on their website, and it's just like streaming a movie all the time, 24/7,
constantly. Like if you were to go downstairs in your house and turn on the TV, the first thing you're watching, it's just constantly running. That's what this is on Shudder.com. All you gotta do is hit Shudder TV and you just watch whatever's on, or you can select a movie and they have tons and tons of content. I'm telling you guys, you're gonna absolutely love Shudder. If you love the show and you love being creeped out and you love everything scary, Shudder is the way to go. You can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for only $5.99 a month or $56.99 a year. That's a lot cheaper than some of the other services. So get started streaming the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content. Shudder's expertly curated collection includes titles like the acclaimed Tigers Are Not Afraid, One Cut of the Dead, Revenge, and the new Creepshow TV series produced by Greg Nicotero and based on the famous films by George Romero. To try Shudder free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code The Confessional. That's Shudder.com, Shudder.com, and use the promo code The Confessional. There's certainly people out there that would make up a story to garner attention, but not everybody, in my mind, can be lying about their experience or just plain stupid, and they're misidentifying a bear that's walking on hind legs. You know what I mean? Like, that's really the only two options you have. And when you take it into consideration, all it takes is for one person to share the story, and if it to be true, for these things to actually exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just in a conversation with guys at work. I work late into the night, and I came in around 8:30 at night, and the drivers that drive for us at nighttime, they were in there getting their days going. And we were talking about Bigfoot and stuff, because everybody knows I talk about this stuff. And the one guy said to me, he goes, you know, I'll tell you the strangest thing I saw driving down the road. He said, me and my buddies were driving, and we just saw this thing run across the road, just bump, 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 and it was on the other side of the road. And he said, we all looked at each other, and we like, did you see that? Yeah, I saw it, but I'm not going to talk about it. And then, you know, I guess he pried until they finally started talking about it, and they all agreed that they saw a monkey run across the road in the middle of Pennsylvania around State College. And I said to him, I said, you sure it was a monkey? And he's like, I tell you, it was a monkey. It ran across the road. And I said, are you sure? And he's like, what else could it be? And I was like, well, I got an idea. But, you know, these guys think that Bigfoot is, you know, either not real, or it's just one of them, or and the one is just completely full size and all that stuff. But, you know, they do start out small at times. So, I mean, but who knows? Maybe it was an actual monkey like you saw.
Yeah, you know, and I the only person I told was my friend, because, you know, you're just not going to tell people you saw a little monkey like that. And you know, of course, he started laughing, so he told everybody. But then, like 6-8 months later, he said, oh, it was the vets. There was a retired veterinarian that lived up there, and he had one, and it got out. But he didn't want anybody to know, because I guess they're very valuable. So he was like, you did see it. That's what you saw. So, yeah, you know, it's hard to, I almost don't want to, if there's anything kind of different, I don't want to say anything, because it'll be like, oh, here we go again, you know. But yeah, my boys and they kind of don't believe me. But when I told them, I said, okay, so I'm going to take you up to this place, and I'm going to explain to you what I've learned, and this is what you do if you see one. Don't run. Don't point the gun at it, you know. And they're kind of looking. And when we were going up, though, both of them were a little antsy. I could tell they were a little apprehensive, you know. Because I've never lied to them. I could BS with the best of them, but I'm a terrible liar. I just can't lie. Neither can they. And it just, I don't know how to explain. How do you explain something that you don't understand yourself? You know, I don't know what I saw, so I can't explain it to anybody. And, you know, like I said, that fear that come over me is that's what stayed with me. I never understood why I was so afraid. And I hear other people's stories and they went through so much. And I'm like, well, why was I so afraid? I was in a vehicle and this thing just looked at me walking, taking a step and a half, and it was across the road. And I was so afraid. It's like, you know, why was I so afraid? I don't get it. I mean, I thought we were dead. It was just a fear like I've never felt. I couldn't imagine that kind of fear. And at the same time, and neither one of us remember driving home. I remember watching it disappear. Not like it just disappeared, but just kind of walked into the woods, you know, and it was gone. But I don't remember driving home, and it's 30 miles from there to our house. I don't remember driving home or even the rest of the day. I don't. Neither does he. So I don't know what happened or if we just kind of blocked it out or what, but neither one of us remember. But something made us that afraid, you know, and shake and sweat and that sick feeling in your stomach. I don't know if you feel that way. It's like if you go in a shock or something, if you know something startles you that much, but that's never happened to me before. You know, I've been out of the bar and people start shooting, and I was hitting the deck, and I wasn't that afraid. I wasn't close to being that afraid. So I don't know. That's what happened. I can't explain it. I would love to find out more, but I don't know. I don't understand the feeling, the emotion. And I thought after all these years that, you know, when I went back to the site, I'm going to maybe see a footprint or something. And, but Tony, I couldn't get out of the car. As soon as we stopped, I started having a panic attack. I was like, couldn't breathe. It's like, let's just go. And my kids are like, really? We came the whole way here. And it's been since the 90s since I was there. It took us a long time to find the exact spot. Because, you know, you get out in the country in Pennsylvania, all those dirt roads go in circles. And, you have no idea where you're going to end up. And we finally found it. And I couldn't get out. I didn't want my boys getting out because, you know, I was afraid. I didn't want to put them in danger. So I don't know if I'm going to go back to the spot. You know, if I do, I'm going to be heavily armed. I know that. But, you know, in a way, that's stupid because I've been around guns my whole life. And I know, you know, someone that's very afraid and have a loaded weapon, that's a dangerous combination.
If you're out there and you were to see another one, would you, even if you didn't feel threatened by it, would you shoot it?
No.
Why?
Well, the first thing is I learned if you see one, there's going to be more. And another thing is other people have shot these things and they keep coming, but they're hard to kill. You know, and if I just see one and it's not threatening me, now if it was coming at me, I would unload my weapon on it. I wouldn't even think about it. But I'm not going to start an aggressive situation with a freaking monster. I'm not going to do it. I would if my life depended on it, I would try to take pictures and stuff, you know, pictures of it just for myself. I don't care if anybody believes me anymore. I know what I saw. Nobody's going to tell me that I saw an 8-foot man come down, you know, and I said it was like 300 or 400 pounds. Scott said it was more like 500 or 600 pounds. It was big. So I don't know the weight. I might have been off on the weight. I don't care how much it weighed. I just know this thing was huge. And when it came down, I was horrified. But I would want to start any aggression towards one of them. I would like love to see one, you know. But I don't know. You know, I wouldn't. I don't want to kill it. I mean. I don't, it has me scared. You know, part of me thinks if this thing is paranormal, what's a bullet going to do? You know, Tony, this thing was 15, 20 feet right in front of me, and it didn't have a face. What are you going to do with a bullet? If it didn't have a face, and I'm telling you, honest to goodness, I've come to the conclusion, it's not that I couldn't see a face, because it was that close. There was no face there. There was just something, not like a fog or anything, but kind of like it imploded on itself. And there just wasn't a face, and it just, I don't understand it. That's what's driving me crazy. It's like, why wasn't there anything there? And as soon as that thing turned, we both got hit with that, whatever it was, and that fear come over. I'm not going to shoot something like that unless I have to. Because, you know, I don't know. You know, if it can put that kind of fear in me, I'm not going to put a bullet into it unless I have to. I think if I saw one, I don't think I'd stop thinking enough to get a good shot. You know, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know how I would react if I saw one, especially up close or anything. But I know I wouldn't be aggressive towards it unless I had to, just out of fear.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I'm dealing with. If it was a bear or something, like I know what it is, that'd be different. But I don't know what this is. I don't know. And I'm listening to other people's encounters and stuff. And what if there is something more to this than just an animal? You know, because when I saw it, I could see you could feel the animal beast and like the hate, and it's just a real bad feeling that come over me. Like, you know, everything was like, it just, I want to say evil, but I don't want to say evil because I don't want to sound like I'm crazy, but I just had this horrible feeling like it was evil, like it was bad. When that thing turned, I'm serious. I thought I was going to die. I don't know what that feeling was, but I don't ever want to feel it again. You know, when I was out in the woods, I heard that knock, and it wasn't just a knock. It sounded like a baseball player with a wooden bat hitting a home run. That's how loud it was. And I was done. It's something, everything in my body said, get out now, get out, get out. And that's never happened to me before. But, you know, I believe that, you know, we all, most animals have this instinct that if you you can sense fear or something that's around you. But I think we as people kind of ignore that. Because we think we're top of the food chain and we're above all this and all that. But everything in my body said, go, get out. Like, this is not good. So I listened to it. I wasn't going to sit there. And, you know, and now since then, listening to other people saying that, hey, they were going to go in the woods and they just had this feeling that they shouldn't go or that they should leave, but they didn't. And bad things happened to them. And I'm kind of glad I listened and I just got out. Never know, I may have saw something, or it could have just been somebody hitting a tree. You know, I could have just been psyching myself out. I'm not above saying that I just freaked my own self out. I'm not above that. But everything in my body said, get out of here. This is not good. So, and I listened to it. I was like, I'm gone. You know, so I talked to my kids. I was walking when I called the boys on the walkie-talkie. I was like, we're gone. I said, they're like, why? We just got here not too long ago. I said, my back's killing me. I got to go. Just go. Get to the truck now. And they come up, they're like, what's wrong? And I'm looking around like I'm a soldier. Like, I'm looking for someone to come start shooting at us. And they're like, what's wrong? Are you okay? So first thing I did is I handed them my gun. I said, just unload it. Let's go. I jumped in the truck and I was done. So that's my story.
Yeah, I know. And it's, what a heck of a story, man. I mean, you're the only person I've ever heard talk about a Bigfoot with no face. And obviously, if it has no face, to me, that there's some kind of paranormal aspect going on. Outside of it not having a face, I'm assuming everything else about it just seemed very physical and real, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't concentrate on like seeing if it was male or female or anything like that. I remember when it stepped down, I noticed that the head wasn't round. It was kind of conical shape. But the first thing I noticed was the size of the right hand, the fingers on it. It's just like, oh my gosh. And that's what I was looking at. And then it was so dark. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I'm telling you, if you would see this color black, you'd understand. But I've never seen this color. It was so black. It was a color I've never seen before. It was like it wasn't a real color. It was, I don't know. It was the darkest thing I've ever seen. And when the head turned and it's like the face, telling the face where the face should be was even darker. It was, I can't explain it. I don't know how to explain it. And I really did for years. I never thought that it could have been paranormal or it could have been anything more than a Bigfoot, you know? But now that I'm listening to other stories and encounters that these things can do different things, I'm thinking, you know what? You know, I can admit when I'm wrong, but there's something more to this than just an animal, you know? 2 years ago, I would say when I first started talking about it, it's an animal. It's a dangerous animal, but it's an animal. But the more I've learned, and I hate to say it, but there's something more to this. This is just not an animal. There's something evil about this thing. And it scarred me so bad that there are times, like I said, when I got to that spot, there was no way I was getting out of the vehicle. No way. And when I heard that knock, a feeling come up, the hair on the back of my head stood up, and it's like, get out of here. We got to go. You got to get out of here. It's here. It's here. Go, go, go. And I don't know why that popped into my head. I mean, I've heard since the 90s when I heard this, I've heard knocks and everything, and it never dawned on me. But when I heard this one, every fiber of my body said, get out. Get out. And so I listened to it. I was gone. I swear to you, I don't know how to explain it to you, but this color was a color that I've never seen before. It was so dark. It was a black that I can't explain. But where the face should have been, it was even darker, and it just seemed like it was imploding on itself. You know, like. I don't know how to explain it. Like, not like it was empty, but it was. Like there was something there, but there was nothing there. Like you could, if there was, you could see right through it. Or, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I sound like an ass trying to explain it because I have no idea what it was. But there was no face, and when it turned, it put the fear of God into both of us at the exact same time. And there's a reason why both of us got that scared that fast at the exact time. You know, I don't know what it is, but there's a reason for it. Maybe someday somebody will be able to tell me what it was, but I'm telling you, I don't ever want to feel that feeling again. That was a fear that I've never felt, and I just thought I was dead. I can't explain it. And like I said, when I heard that knock last year, everything in my body said, run, run, get out, it's here. So I don't know. Maybe I was psyching myself out. I don't know. But I listened to it. I didn't wait to hear anything else. I was just up and gone.
Yeah, man, I can understand that whole thing, man. I understand your fear of it. I can understand the PTSD behind it, things like that. You know, that's why when I talk about this stuff and, you know, you hear people's stories like you have where it seemed very physical yet paranormal, clearly paranormal. I mean, if it doesn't have a face, how the heck does it eat? You know, I mean, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like there's got to be something else going on here. And that's why, for me, that's why I really lean strong towards the Enochian Book of Giants kind of explanation, where it's like, you know, because in the Bible, it doesn't say that the fallen angels had sex with anything but women. But in Enoch and in the Book of Giants, it does say that they also did that with animals. And so that's my best attempt to explain why these things could have paranormal aspects at the same time be yet physical, because their fathers, their ancestral fathers, were, you know, paranormal type entities. They were angels that had special abilities, interdimensional abilities. And if they have gotten any kind of traits passed down, you know, who knows, maybe they would have that ability. You know, I was just talking to my parents about this over Christmas, and you know, I was telling them, like, because if you think about it, you know, say you have five sons, right? Not all five sons are going to look the same. They're not going to have the same physical abilities as the other. You know, one might become a professional basketball player. The other one might become a carpenter because he wasn't skilled like that. But that's all in the DNA that you pass down to them, right? So maybe some of these things have paranormal type abilities and some of them don't, because it just wasn't part of the DNA that they got, you know?
Yeah. And listen to your show. I just bought a book. I think it's the Five Books of Enoch or something like that. I forget what the name is, but it's the Book of Enoch. I heard you talk on your show. But didn't you say there was a certain version to read above the other one?
It's the first book of Enoch that you want. The other books are very sketchy. They're very you can't verify if they were actually written by Enoch. I think one was actually written 1500 years after, or not 1500 years. Was it 15? It might have been either, I'm even thinking 500 or 1500 years after Christ died. So I mean, it's clearly not accurate. But the first book of Enoch, you can date it back, and I think that the first book of Enoch very well might have been the very first thing ever written, ever, that we have, or maybe not ever, but that we have today. Like, it might be the oldest piece of written material that we have today. And in Enoch, the first book of Enoch, it's very it's written in current events. He's writing things down that are going on around him in real time, and so I mean, it's very. It's very in very much in detail, and even in chapter 7, verse 5 is what I was referencing earlier. It says, "And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood." Right there, I mean, what it talks about the sinning against is the same reference that they used in the Bible and things like that. They sinned against them. They had sex with them. They procreated. And so, yeah, the first book of Enoch is what you want to definitely check out.
Okay. That's what I definitely wanted to get that, because I'll be honest, and I think I even sent you a message like about a year ago when I said, come on, Tony, do you really believe that this and that? You're like, yeah, Morris, I really do. I wouldn't have it on the show. And I started thinking, you know, maybe... Because I was ignorant. I mean, ignorant by not knowing. I knew nothing about paranormal anything. I knew nothing about infrasound or, you know what I mean? I didn't. And I was just basically being an ass about it. I didn't give people credit. Instead of, I wanted people to believe what I said, but I wasn't believing anything that they said, because I was still in that mind frame. But now, it's kind of opened my eyes. It's like, you know what? You need to check yourself, because a lot of the stuff that they're saying, I can put into my story, you know, because I didn't want to believe there was anything paranormal about what I saw. I didn't want to believe that. I didn't want to believe that there's ghosts and stuff, but there are, you know. My sister has seen ghosts since she was a little girl. My we had an aunt that passed away when she was 3 years old, and my sister don't remember her, but my mom would say that she would go downstairs at 3 o'clock in the morning. She heard my sister when she was like 5 or 6 years old talking, and she saw something white go across the living room floor. And my sister would say, "Why did you come down, Mom? You scared Aunt Minnie away." But my sister don't remember her. I don't remember her. You know, but I've never seen anything. Like I said, I've never seen anything paranormal. I've hunted at night in graveyards with the, you know, coon hunting and stuff like that, and used to party in graveyards, never saw anything. Maybe I was just lucky or too stupid to notice the signs. I don't know. But what I've learned is, you know, I don't know half as much as I thought I did. You know, I understand that now. It's like, you know, I'm going to learn more if I just listen instead of talking.
Right.
You know, and not, and understanding and giving people the benefit of a doubt, because even though it might be hard to understand, that doesn't mean it didn't happen, you know?
Exactly.
And that was a big lesson. And since I've done that, that's why I think, you know, this had to be something more than an animal telling. Sorry, just getting shook up a little bit. It had to be, because, you know, all these years later and stuff, I'm still feeling this. And my gosh, this thing just walked in front of me. And I've heard people on your show that it's attacked them and their families. And how are these guys dealing with this? You know, and little kids and stuff. And I just had something walk in front of me, and I'm freaked out about it. But it's amazing. You know, it's just amazing. But there's a lot of information out there, and but all the good information is being stomped on by these idiots out there making a joke out of it. You know, I have Tim Renner, that guy from Pennsylvania, that author. I bought all his books. I learned a lot. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of sightings, a lot of details from, you know, 100 years of this. And, you know, like when I heard on your show, people, they used to say like wild man and stuff like that. And it's amazing that this has been around. People have seen this for all this time, but yet it's still like a deep, dark secret, like a family
right.
secret nobody wants out. You know, but I don't think it's going to be, they're going to be able to keep it. And even after like this last election, we found out that there's parts of our government on either side, whatever, that are just pure evil. You know, we're not the good guys that we thought we were. There's parts of this, of our government, that's just pure evil, that destroy people's lives. And things are coming out that, you know, 50 years ago, we're just being so ashamed, and the way we're treating each other. So we all ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to hate each other. Just because someone said they saw something, we don't have to destroy their lives. You know, don't ridicule them and everything. Just because you might not even believe it, but let them go. Let people live. But we just seem like now we want to pounce on everything. We have to label everything. And I guess I'm going on a rant. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, man. It's fine. No, I totally understand what you're saying and everything. I mean, I was in a similar boat where when I first started really looking into the Bigfoot topic, I thought it was, if it was real, because when I first started looking into it in my mid-20s, I wasn't sure. I wanted to believe in it, but I wasn't sure. But I was like, if it's real, it's a hairy monkey that we haven't discovered yet. And I started looking for evidences of why that's even possible and all this other stuff. And the more you dig into it, the more you hear people's encounters, the more you're faced with a decision you have to make. Do you think that all the people that are saying things that you don't agree with are lying or crazy? Mm-hmm. Or are they, is maybe even one or two of them telling the truth? Because even if one of two of them are telling the truth, that there's something weird about this, other than the fact that it's a giant, quote unquote, mammal that we haven't discovered yet. If there's something paranormal about it and one or two of them is telling the truth, it's going to rock your world. It's like, okay, well, how do I deal with this then? And so I had to go through those steps too and everything. I mean, seriously, I mean, when I first started my Bigfoot group on Facebook, I was very much, it's a flesh and blood creature. If we see it, shoot it so we can bring it in and prove to the world it exists. And the more time went on, the more I was like, there is something else to this. And I had to go through the phase where I actually, in my private time, thought that, okay, there is something more to this. I started looking at the Nephilim thing and all that other stuff that I talk about now. I it took a while for me to actually come out about it because I was like, people are going to freaking crucify me if I start talking about this stuff.
And that was me. When I saw your show, that's what I was saying. I was like, this guy is crazy. And like, he can't believe this. And then I started thinking. I heard about infrasound, and then I just, how this thing just kind of didn't disappear, but just like was walking, and then it just wasn't there. And I started thinking, you know what? They're right. This all could be true, because honestly, I was 15, 20 feet at the most away from this. And there was no face. And Bill, Mike got hit with the fear, like I've heard other people say, the infrasound. That had to be it, because it just, both of us aren't going to get that feeling at the exact same time. And that feeling of dread and fear, you know? And we did. We felt like we were going to die.
Yeah. But,
you know, my friend is one of the, I don't know. I really wish, you know, I wanted to get him to come on here with me to talk to you. And I brought it up several times, but he's just not interested. I'm not going to push him. You know, that's fine. But he actually has more stories than I do. You know, he believed more in paranormal stuff. He worked in limestone mines that they stored RVs and things in, and they would drive down into the mines where the owner, he was kind of afraid, like, you know, being in there and be out of cave in, so he would never go in. And there's parts of it that they don't have lights in it. And he told me they would just go in there and park in the slow season and sleep. And he said him and his buddy, his co-worker, woke up one day, you know, it's totally pitch black in there, and they saw like granites. And there was people like from the early 1900s with like the candle thing on their hat, walking, and with the old style lunch boxes, like, I don't know, like you'd see, oh, like in the 1900s. And he said there'd be three or four of them that would just walk right in front, and they would look in their thing, they had faces and everything, but then they'd just vanish. And, you know, he said he saw all that stuff, and I'm like, really, Scott? Really? But, you know, now that we started talking, I said, I think there's something more to this. And he said, there has to be. He said, he felt evil. So,
yeah.
I wasn't quite good to say evil, but I could say, yeah. You know, but I feel weird because at first I didn't say anything like that. But I didn't understand. I just saw this big black thing walking by me and I didn't have faith. I didn't know what it was. I don't know how to explain it. I can't explain it to you if I can't explain it to myself.
It's just one of those things, man, where it's a mystery that is yet to be solved. And, you know, there's people out there that, you know, believe that they exist, and they believe that the whole world should believe it too. But the bottom line is, unless we have a real specimen that can be looked at by certified scientists, we got nothing. And until that happens, till it's allowed to happen, we're just a bunch of people who, you know, talk about the thing, and we see it when we see it, and that's that. So,
yeah.
Mo, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story and sharing your thoughts on it, because it's a very interesting story, especially the fact that it didn't have a face. It really lends to the idea that these things, maybe not all of them, but maybe some of them are as much physical as paranormal. So I really do appreciate you sharing your story, man.
I thank you for letting me, you know, tell my story, and I've learned so much from your show, Tony. You're doing a great job. I love the show.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please go ahead and share this show around social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, emails, the water cooler. I don't care how you share the show, but if you enjoyed it, please go ahead and share this show. And remember, we have another public show coming out on Thursday. And if you're a member, check the website because there's a new member show from yesterday and one coming tomorrow. So until Thursday, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. I bought a motorcycle. Started hanging out with drug dealers. But like rich ones. And we flew helicopters. I ended up taking down a communist regime with a band of rebels. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. I tossed it, giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. I'm alive today, but jacketless. We'll buy this jacket again soon. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Thank you for listening to Amazon 5-Star Theater. Looking for unforgettable gifts this holiday season, like a jacket that becomes your whole personality? Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.